Chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom he favors rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the things that had happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God bless the reading of his word.
The Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, involves a lot of characters. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, magi, a lot of people. And out of these people, beautiful stories emerge. And the ideas we have with Christmas, some of them, of course, the main part is to be based on the scripture, but then some ideas we formed in my mind is based on the Bible stories that we read, or paintings, or books we read, or based on Christmas pageants. And some of these ideas is not really the same as the Bible talk about. So today, I have some reflection, some musing. And I consider myself put into the shoes of these characters, or the sandals of these characters, and have the following reflections. First, reflection on Mary. How many of you know what's the Hebrew name for Mary meant in Hebrew language? The name Mary. How many of you know? No? The Hebrew meaning, the meaning of the Hebrew name of Mary. Well, Mary, the in Hebrew, is Myrrh. The root, the Hebrew name is Myrrh. And it means bitter. Okay, bitter. Remember that the story of Ruth? Naomi used to be a Jewish woman who, because of famine condition, she went to Moab. And then during the stay, she lost her husband, lost two sons, and then finally she returned back to Bethlehem. And then people said, hey, is this you, Naomi? Naomi's name means sweet. And then Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Myrrh, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And that's the Mary, that the Hebrew root of the name. It might be surprising to most of us. Mary's name, actually, the root meaning is bitter. And I think blessedness does not mean a life without bitter, right? Mary called herself blessed. But think, Mary really in her life was quite bitter, by our standard anyway. Like, she had carried a teenage unwed pregnancy, and during the delivery process, we all heard the stories how Mary delivered baby in a manger, in a stable, and then the baby was lying on the manger. I don't think that is most comfortable for them. And also, Mary eventually, towards the end of Jesus' life, Mary is the one who witnessed the crucifixion of her own son. Imagine you are as a mother who witnessed the crucifixion of your son right in front of your eyes. No wonder in Luke chapter 2, the prophet Simeon told this to Mary. He says, in Luke 2, Simeon, the prophet, met Joseph's family in the temple. And Simeon says, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Think about these words. This is what our Lord Savior come to cause the falling and rising of many, and many people's hearts will be revealed. And to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul. So this is life. This is a life. God sometimes used a bitter life to lead us into a blessed life. And the Bible constantly talks about it is through suffering that we are promoting to glory. Second, think about the delivery process. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 156 kilometers, according to Mr. Google. But think about this road. It's not traveling by today's highway. If you drive, it takes 3 hours highway driving. But imagine you have to walk in a hilly road. That journey probably takes Joseph and Mary 4 to 5 days. Okay? And the Bible talk about why do they have to go to from Nazareth to Bethlehem? It's because of the census, you know. Joseph, being a descendant of David, would come from Bethlehem, so he has to go to register there. But Mary didn't have to go. But Joseph probably think that, oh, Mary have nobody to take care of her in Nazareth. But the gossiping was probably too much for Mary. You know, people was looking at her belly. Ooh, not even Mary didn't look at that. So Mary probably decided to go with Joseph anyway, just to avoid hearing all this saying behind her back. And in the picture of their journey, we always see that Mary was sitting on the donkey. But there's nothing said in the Bible that maybe poor Joseph, a poor carpenter, probably maybe not even can afford to own a donkey. So maybe the chances are Mary have to walk from all the way 4 to 5 days journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Finally, arriving tired and exhausted, they are looking forward to a comfy hotel. But verse 2:7 in Luke says, there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Of course, there are rooms in the inn. But it's just a matter that nobody is willing to give it up for this young couple, right? There are always rooms in the inn. In case you think that the people in that inn ought to be cursed, how can they reject the King of Kings, Lord of Lords? They should be cursed. But when was the last time you turned a blind eye on the hungry and the thirsty? When you meet that stranger, you did not invite him in. When you see a person who needs clothes, you did not clothe him. When was the last time you know there was someone sick in prison and you did not bother to look after him? And Jesus says, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Or how about our mind? In Christmas, so distracted by parties, by gifts, by vacations, and our hearts, like the famous hymn says, do not have room for the coming of Christ. Then, Joseph was told that Mary's child is the Son of the Most High, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if you were told that your wife was the surrogate mother for this special VIP, King of Kings, what do you think that you would think that your life in the coming years, for sure it would be smooth, prosperous, right? You know, she is the bearer of the Son of God. Yet, in the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, we heard stories that Joseph was totally stressed out. Remember, Joseph was a carpenter. He is not a doctor. He is not a cattle farmer, you know, He have no experience yet on the Christmas night. He was have to deliver this baby. I think of my brother Matthew here. I don't know, probably many of you know Matthew delivered Victoria at her home. You know, I cannot imagine how he was reacting at that time. But I know that he had the support over the phone by the 911 operators, right? Someone guided him. But Joseph, on the first night, on the Christmas day, he had to deliver Mary's baby. There was no room, no bed, no supplies. The baby had to be put in the manger. And no help from anybody. God's son's coming out on this world, yet God did not arrange anything to help Joseph. Yet nearby, somewhere in the field, there's a multitude of angels singing. Can God not send one or two angels at least to sing? You know, out of the choir of 2,000 people, 2,000 angels? Can God not just send two angels to help? Yet no. God intended his son is to be born in such a low state. That should give us a clear message, right? The clear message is that if God can be found in a barn, are there anywhere God can't be found? God is obviously making that clear to us. He wants his son to be accessible for everybody. Think about your situation. Are you in a difficult situation that you think that God is so far away from you? Like that God is not caring about you, do not want to be with you? But think about Joseph and Mary. He arranged his son to be born so that the strong message is anybody can find Jesus in whatever situation you are in. Next, I think of the shepherds. Often we fantasize shepherd because Jesus is the good shepherd, right? So shepherd must be a very noble job. But in reality, if you are in Jesus' time, shepherds, I don't think anybody wants to be shepherds. Just imagine, shepherds have to keep watch the flock. Outdoor. How many of you like to be outdoor all the time? And imagining staying awake, keeping watch of the flock overnight, no? Outside, you know. Even time and a half, two times your salary, I don't want to do it. Yet, nobody wants to be shepherds. Hard life. Sometimes dealing with dead animals. And keeping watch over the flock at night with no internet. Why? The angels announced the greatest humanity to a group of shepherds. This is probably the lowest of the low according to the social status. Yet, God chose to reveal this greatest news to this group of nobodies. Shepherds. And the heavens open up, to perform a cantata for just a few people. What a waste. Every year we go to buy tickets to watch Messiah, to listen to the beautiful concert. Lots of people, you know, the choir is about 100 people, orchestra maybe another 50. But at least this group of musicians perform in front of 4,000, 5,000 people, right? But imagine a host, the heavens all open up, the sky full of angels, and just performing in front of a few shepherds. Why? Today, I bring you a new good news. Really, truly good news. Today, if you ride the TTC, it's free. Yesterday, no, not yesterday, Friday, on Friday, the subway extensions was officially open. So who got invited to witness this big event? Did you get an invitation, Rob? I didn't get a the pastor of a church. Didn't I get an invitation to witness the opening of this great extension? Nobody. I don't know how many of you get an invitation to witness the event. Yet, God, Son, King of Kings, come to this earth, and a group of shepherds, a group of small people, get invited to witness that event, invite them to go see this event and tell other people. Why? The conclusion that arrives is God must like people who is just doing the job. You see, the shepherds was doing the job very faithfully, diligently, and God must like them. And he said, I want to choose this people. He is reliable in taking care of sheep, little flocks. So he must be, I am going to entrust them to tell, to witness the birth of my son, and then to tell everybody the beginning. So the Bible says the shepherds went, saw the baby, and then went to spread the news. And then in verse 20, did you notice when Brother James read it? Verse 20, it says, the shepherd returned. After telling the people, the shepherd returned. Returned what? Returned back to do their job, because the flocks need to be taken care. The shepherds did not, after seeing Jesus, did not shave their hair and go to monastery. The shepherds returned to finish the job of taking care of the flock. So, the conclusion I can make is we can glorify God in doing a good job for God. God chose shepherds. They must be faithful. And God wants to pick them to witness this greatest news of the birth of his son. Finally, the wise men. The wise men is a group of people that is subjected to most colorful imagination. Because we can imagine, some of the story says the wise men are kings. First of all, the scripture did not say the wise men are not kings. They are probably professors. And then we have three kings. The Bible also did not say three. Three wise men. It could be two. It could be six. You get the idea of three is because there were three gifts. But two persons can share a gift, right? So it could be two, it could be six. And then the wise men, is it wise men riding on a camel? It could be horses, right? So we have, and then finally, usually in the Christmas pageant, that the wise men would arrive right after the shepherd, you know? So the shepherd come, you know, worshiping the baby, and then the wise men come, as if they arrive on the same night Jesus was born. But no, for sure no. Because the wise men probably arrived to worship Jesus about maybe a year later. Because the scriptures just describe Jesus as the child. Maybe Jesus is like a toddler now. And they talk about Mary and Joseph was actually in a house, not in a stable. So anyway, the wise men, God called these wise men, who are Gentiles from the East, to come and worship the King of the universe. For sure, it's telling us that this child Jesus is the King of the whole world, not just for Jewish people, not just for Chinese people, not just for black people. Jesus is the King of Kings of the universe. So God called these Gentiles from the East to come to worship his son. And the gift they brought probably helped Joseph to escape to Egypt. And we all know the story, the wise man story, you know. God shows, revealed, and guide these wise men through a star, probably like a running star, you know, low enough that they can identify going all the way to Jerusalem, which is the capital. So they assume that in the capital is where the king of the Jew would be born, right? So they end up entering into the palace and talk to King Herod and ask King Herod, you know, where is the one who's born to be king of the Jews? King Herod, you know, of course, is very shocked, but he's a very calculated man, you know. Go, and, you know, find out from the advisors, it says the scripture says the king of the Jews should be born in Bethlehem. So he's asked these wise men, go, search for the king, and then come tell me so that I can also worship him, this king of the Jews. In the meantime, he's probably gritting his teeth, I am the king of the Jews, you know. So, and then after that, we all know the story that the angel appeared to Joseph after seeing this the wise men, and then the angel sent direct the wise men to go a different route, not to go back to King Herod, and then tell Joseph to escape right away to Egypt, right? And then what happened is, the result is, after this visit of the wise men, is the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. That's the Christmas story, part of the Christmas story, resulting in a massacre of which Bible describes as weeping and great mourning in Bethlehem. Do you see the irony here? God saves his son, but allowed many sons in Bethlehem to be killed. Do you see this irony here? God saved his son, but allowed many sons to be killed. Well, I think we should not feel sorry for the murder boys, because they were all return to our Heavenly Father at once as Blessed Martha. But how about the complaints from the parents, the father and mothers of these boys? He said, God, you are not so fair. You are not doing right thing. How come you allow your son to escape and our son is murdered? To this, we must say, these parents don't understand that God allowed his son to escape because his time was not yet come. For to this end, Jesus came into the world that he might lay down his life to save his people from their sins. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you are always holy, just, merciful, and loving. Your judgment is always right, and your wisdom is unfathomable. God, through the Christmas, your coming of this story, there are many, many parts and details that we do not understand. The unexpected, the humbling of emptying yourself to come on earth. We just cannot understand. But you did it because of your love, because you want to save us, to reconcile us. So help us to marvel and to respond to this love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can we all rise? Thank you, Pastor Wong, for your message. The next song we're singing is Silent Night. Verse 1 is about Christ being born in a stable. Verse 2, angels announcing Christ to shepherds. And then verse 4 is the wise men seeking Jesus from afar. So kind of echoes the sermon. So as we sing this song, let us just remember the humble beginnings of our Lord Jesus. Let me just go back and read Luke 2, 4 to 7. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Sorry. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory streams from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Silent night.
Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing alleluia to our King, Christ the Savior.